From Santa Cruz, California, I'm Gary Shapiro, and this is From the Bookshelf. Thanks so much for joining me.
This week, my guest is singer-songwriter Leslie Mendelson. And we'll not only chat with her, but we'll listen to some of her music, and we're going to start with a song from her brand new album. The album is called After the Party, and here's a song from it called The Good Life.
Yourself some slack, pour yourself a drink. 'Cause when you're feeling at your worst, you're doing better than you think. When you can't get out of bed 'cause you haven't slept a wink, and your time is running out, and left the dishes in the sink. Any day now it'll come around, when the world turns upside down, inside out, makes you crazy. Here's to the good life. All the stars are out tonight. Who knows what's round the bend? May the music never die. Let the party never end. Any day now it'll come around, when the world turns upside down, inside out, makes you crazy. But don't worry, baby. Here's to the good life. Here's to the good life. Let's go out tonight. Let the party never end. Here's to the good life.
That was The Good Life by Leslie Mendelson, my guest this week.
And if you don't know her music, you can thank me later. Leslie Mendelson has a new album just out entitled After the Party, and she's touring. You can catch her California appearances Thursday, July 18th, Sweetwater Music Hall in Mill Valley, and Friday, July 19th at Sound Union Incorporated in Redwood City. And I highly recommend that you see her if you can. Leslie Mendelson, welcome to From the Bookshelf.
Hello.
You know, Leslie, I noticed that you played the harmonica with a harmonica rack, and I was thinking, what other woman has ever done that? You're like the first woman I've ever seen to play the harmonica that way.
Are you kidding?
Who else? Can you think of anybody? I think of Neil Young and Bob Dylan and.
Yeah, I guess but I never, I always think of, yeah, people, right? And I guess, no. Well, all right, that's cool.
And you play really well. I loved your harmonica
Thank
playing.
you.
That was really
Right.
nice.
That was yeah, I feel, it kind of came out of, things, I guess, what's the saying? Invention is the
Necessity is the mother of invention.
necessity is the mother of invention, and I think that I was, playing a lot of solo shows, and there's just too much, there's solo sections and I'm not soloing. So it really just came out of that, of just wanting to fill it in. And then actually the thing that it was actually during a gig that I was singing with, I was asked to be a part of a tribute show that the Who, that well, Roger Daltrey was putting on for Teenage Cancer Trust, and I wound up sitting in and singing well, Bob O'Reilly with basically the Who band minus Pete. But I think it was one of the stage hands that was one of the crew guys, because I was playing tambourine. He's like, "You should play harmonica during that part." And I'm like, "I don't play harmonica." He's like, "Here, learn." And I just started like blowing, and I'm like, "Well, I play piano, I could sing, I play guitar. I'm like, I could figure this out." So like that was the first time I ever did it. And then I just decided to incorporate it into my regular show.
I'm so glad you did. It was really unique and wonderful.
Something to do.
Yeah. And you have a brand new album. Well, I've got it right
I
here.
do.
It's wonderful. And it's my copy even has your signature in it. Thank you. And it's called
Oh,
After the Party.
what? When did that
When I saw you opening for the Wallflowers in Monterey, California, a lot of times when you go to a show and there's an opening act, you go, oh.
I know the feeling.
Yeah. And then you came out and you were so great and so entertaining. I really enjoyed your set. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
I enjoyed your harmonica playing, as I said, but also your guitar playing. Your guitar playing is very expressive and interesting.
Yeah, all right. I'll take that.
I really like it a lot.
I feel like I'm just always a student of guitar. Like I said, piano is my main instrument, but it's hard to do, to lug around a piano or, every now and then. Like I just did a show up in Eugene, Oregon that had a beautiful Steinway. I was like, yes, that's just amazing. And but a lot of the time I'll get a keyboard or something. I was like, so I just rather play a guitar, so I feel like I've learned a lot of my songs, and I've kind of had to adapt it. And so I just always feel like, yeah, I'm playing guitar, just hanging on for dear life. But I guess anything you do more of, you just get better at it. So
Oh,
I
you're a very good
appreciate the
guitarist.
compliment. Thank you.
I'm surprised to hear that the piano is your primary instrument because you play the guitar so well. So do you
Well,
write?
wait till you hear me on the
Do you write all your songs on piano then?
Both. It depends on the style or the vibe that I'm going for. But like there's a song, Have a Little Heart, that's on the record. If I don't have a piano, I can easily do it on the guitar, and it's kind of that I call my Burt Bacharach Neil Young mashup. Because easily it sounds like a Neil Young song, especially with the harmonica, but when I play it on piano, it's like a Burt Bacharach song. Go figure. I don't know.
Get sober, so have a little heart, baby. Have a little heart, baby. There's a weight hanging on my shoulder, so have a little heart, baby. Have a little heart, baby. So please. but it's getting colder, so have a little heart, baby. Have a little heart, baby. In my grave I'll be rolling over, so have a little heart, baby, yeah. Everybody needs a little loving. Everybody needs a little love. So won't you have a little heart? Have a little heart. Won't you have a little heart? Have a little heart.
That was a song by Leslie Mendelson, who's my guest this week on From the Bookshelf. I'm Gary Shapiro.
Well, I guess I want to ask you about your influences then. What was the music that you listened to growing up and thinking about being a musician?
I think I was so into the radio, you know, and just growing up, you know, and was in high school in the 90s, you know, and just everything from, I mean, I loved rock that came out, you know, like when Nirvana came out and all that stuff. But my parents had a very big record collection, very eclectic as well. Like my mother turned me on to the Carpenters and Carole King, and my dad, he was into jazz, and I felt like we got a lot more jazz from him, like Miles Davis. He was a big fan because he's a trumpet player, but he also was into like jazz rock, so like Steely Dan and Chicago and Earth, Wind and Fire and stuff like that was his that was his groove. So somewhere in between there, my parents' taste, of course, the Beatles, and I feel like I got into rock and roll, like 60s classic rock. I had a friend, her name was Alyssa, that I went to high school with, and she was like my rock and roll friend, like hippie parents. You know, I would go over there and it was always a party. I think I was like, I had my first drink at like 15, you know, and we just, she turned me on to the Stones, like She's Like a Rainbow and those, you know, like Let It Bleed and Bob Dylan and just that kind of rock and roll that really turned me on. I just loved it.
Well, at what point did you decide that you were going to be a professional musician? Or did you not
decide? I feel like it kind of happened. I kind of always thought it was going to happen as a kid. And then, I don't know, somewhere in my 20s, I started teaching and doing this and that. And then, like, by, like, my late 20s, I was like, oh, I got to get shit together. You know, and I just, like, the hustle is, like, real, you know. And you're like, can I really do this? And then I got a record deal, and I'm like, I'm doing this now. So that was kind of a turning point.
Well, how did you
just waking up one? What? Oh, how?
Yeah.
I did a record. So I moved to the city and joined. I was living on Long Island, and I needed a change of pace because I was teaching and hustling. I didn't know what I was doing. And there was a songwriters group. It was Jack Hardy ran it, called Fast Folk. Mm-hmm. A lot of people came out of it, like Suzanne Vega, and and then he would hold this group every Monday in Greenwich Village at his apartment, and you'd have to write a new song. You'd come with a new song every Monday and a bottle of wine or something, and then he'd cook a big thing of pasta. And it was just this great community. You'd get feedback. It also forced you to like finish stuff. And I kind of did my first solo acoustic version of an album through that. And then when I went to go get it mastered, I did it at this place called DB Plus, which was Gene Paul was Les Paul's kid, actually. Not so much a kid, he's like older now. And he was working with somebody named Joel Dorn. Joel Dorn was like the head of Atlantic Records back in the 70s, and he produced Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly, and he just did a ton of records. Bette Midler's first record, Les McCann, he did just a lot of stuff, Donny Hathaway. And he was listening to me, and as rough around the edges as I was back then, he was just like, you know, kid, I think you got something kind of thing. And then we started doing some stuff together, making demos. And then I wound up getting my first deal with Ryko Disc in 2009.
Wow. So you've been at this a while, obviously.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that you went to high school in the 90s, so I guess you opened the door for this question. I hope it's not offensive.
No, I don't want to answer it. I just like all music, the eras.
You're slightly older than the average young singer-songwriter.
I'm not 25, no. Right.
And has that been an issue for you or a problem?
I don't know. It's like, well, the problem as far as like being like world famous.
You look 25. Point. You can pass for 25.
Oh, thank you. No, I don't know. It's just, I think it's just, you know, I've hit certain really like good levels, you know, just being able to, you know, open for The Who at MSG, or, you know, played Carnegie Hall a few weeks ago. You know, like there's like some nice, real good highs, you know, as far as like touring and this and that. But it's, you know, yeah, as far as like mass appeal, that's just the tipping point. It hasn't quite happened, so you know the hustle is real.
And do you still, I mean, I think there, when I look back on other musicians, there's like an upward trajectory of ambition, when then they sort of say, okay, well, I'm where I'm going to be. Do you feel like you're still moving upward in your career?
I think so. Yeah, I was having this conversation about like never doing that huge like, oh, I've made it. Even with, you know, Grammy nominations, this and that, I still don't feel like it's, you know, an avalanche of success. Does it happen to anybody like that anymore? I don't know. I just think it's just a little bit of just, and the fact that it hasn't been a huge amount of success, I have these little successes that keep me going, makes me still feel like I haven't made it. Maybe the hunger and the drive is still there because it's all these new experiences. I still feel like it's very rewarding when things do happen.
Well, tell me about your Grammy nominations.
That was for the first record. It was nominated. That was Swan Feathers in 2009. It was nominated for Best Engineered Record.
Well,
I think it lost to Ray LaMontagne or something like that. It was nice to be nominated.
So I have three records. I'm missing one. The ones I have, if you can't say anything nice.
And that was 2020.
Love and Murder.
That was 2017.
And the brand new one after the point, which I love. So when you released your, if you can't say anything nice, you released it right at the moment of pandemic.
Spring of 2020.
So that must have curtailed your ability to promote it.
Yeah, a little bit. Remember Zoom concerts?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you do a bunch of those?
I did a bunch of those, you know, because the train was already going down the tracks. You know, it was just, I wasn't going to stop it. And in a weird way, it felt very cathartic to release something and get online and do these live streams. And it was a very isolating time for a lot of people, including myself. And to get online and all of a sudden do like an Instagram Live or Facebook Live, and people were there, you know, sending little hearts and this and that. It felt like nice because there was times where we wouldn't see anybody for a little while. It was really weird in the beginning. So I thought it was, in a strange way, yes, I was supposed to, you know, touring. I had a really great schedule and this and that, but what can you do? And I think I definitely made the best of it.
Well, that's good. It's a great record, and I really love it.
Thank you.
I've been, you know, really like absorbing these three records, and I really love them. And I also loved when I saw you in concert, you did a marvelous cover of Don't Get Me Wrong by the Pretenders. And like I'd kind of forgotten about that song, but you just totally made that yours.
Thank you.
Don't get me wrong. If I'm looking kind of dazzled, I see neon lights whenever you walk by. Don't get me wrong. If you say hello and I take a ride up on a sea where the mystic moon is playing havoc with the tide. Don't get me wrong. Hey, now. Don't get me wrong. If I'm looking all distracted, fireworks that go off when you smile. Don't get me wrong. If I split light refracted, I'm only off to wander upon a midnight mile. Once in a while, two people meet, seem leaving no reason, just pass on the street. Suddenly thunder showers everywhere, but who can explain the thunder and rain? There's something in the air. If I come and go like fashion, I might be great tomorrow, but hopeless yesterday. Don't get me wrong. If I come with more passion, it might be unbelievable. Not stay so long. It might just be fantastic. Don't get me wrong.
Don't Get Me Wrong, the Pretenders song performed by my guest, Leslie Mendelson. I'm Gary Shapiro. This is From the Bookshelf.
There's definitely a covers album in me somewhere. There's something I really need to get off my chest. I've been thinking about this project for a little while. I've just kind of, not the Great American Songbook, like as far as jazz standards, but just like, just the great songs that have inspired me that I put on like a really high level, you know, like my Desert Island songs, yeah. You know, I'd love to do something like that.
Your list.
Some of my piano influences, like Harry Nilsson and Randy Newman, songs like that, you know, and that's kind of what I love to play on the piano.
We're talking with Leslie Mendelson, and she's a singer-songwriter, and her new album is called After the Party, and she's going to be appearing in a couple of California dates coming up on July 18th in Mill Valley, and the following day, July 19th, in Redwood City. Tell me about your early life. Where are you from originally?
Long Island.
Long Island?
Yeah, I was born and raised.
Yeah.
And near Stony Brook, Sausatucket. And yeah, my dad was a music teacher and my mom, for, well, the early part of my childhood, she was, she took care of the kids, but then she went on and got her master's in psychology.
Oh, well, that's exciting.
And, so yeah,
inspirational, isn't it?
That's an inspiration, right? And then, yeah, so I just had like a pretty normal suburban childhood.
And you were taking piano lessons as a little girl?
Yeah. I feel like I had a good ear early on because I would just go, I would listen to something and go run and try to learn it on the piano. And then I took some lessons, but I was, because I was really good by ear, it was really hard for me to read. You know, that was a challenge. I can do a little bit, but it was never something that just, I think it's because when you have a good ear, you just get frustrated. You just want to play because I could hear it, so I could figure it out. So that was probably my downfall in becoming a great classical pianist. But I just, you know, stuck to rock and roll. I learned the whole like Beatles discography. I had this great 2-volume collection of, it was called The Complete Beatles. Bantam put it out, you know, with the stripes and
yeah,
the binding.
I know that
such
one.
A great, those two books were my Bible growing up. I think I learned every single song in there.
Brilliant.
I feel like that's how I learned how to at least, you know, read charts and learn songs.
Well, that's a good songwriting primer.
They're okay.
Well. Those books are kind of good songwriters.
They're all right. They're all right. They wrote a few.
So when you first got started in the music business, did you sing backup vocals or were you always just a solo artist? Or
I was, no, I had a band. I had a rock band. It was like funk rock dance band called Mother Freedom back in on Long Island. And then after that, that's when we were together for a few years. And then after that, I think I just got more into like folk music. But yes, I fronted a dance band. I was dancing and jumping around and we had a horn section and, you know, like covers we did were like Funkadelic and stuff like that.
What did you wear?
I don't know. Probably nothing special. I was a hippie. So I had like a t-shirt, a pair of jeans. It was never that fancy.
That's pretty great. You cut a song with Jackson Browne, which you performed at your show, and which is a beautiful record. Can you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, we met. Well, I was doing a house concert in Brooklyn, and a director, Paul Haggis, came up to me after my set and was just like, you know, I really love your sound and style, and I think that, you know, I'm doing a movie right now, a documentary, and maybe we could, you know, think about doing something original. I'd love an original song for my movie, he was telling me. And also he was trying to get Jackson Browne on board. So he's like, maybe, you know, collaborate with Jackson Browne. I'm like, okay, sure. And then it happened. We put it together and Steve and I sketched out the song. Steve McEwen's my co-writer for Jackson. And when Jackson got it, he was like, I really love this. I can work with this. And we finished the song in New York, and then we recorded it in his studio in Santa Monica. And then it's in the movie, and the movie's called 5B, which is the first dedicated AIDS ward in San Francisco General. And it's really a love story about the nurses and the patients. And they were the first people to really take their hazmat suits off and give the patients love. And that's what they needed. And that's the heart of the movie. And so the song is called A Human Touch. And yeah, that was a really wonderful experience getting to record and sing with Jackson. He brought me on tour, which was great.
Oh, yeah.
I got to open. Yeah, I got to open for him. And then we'd sing the song every night. And then Jackson put it on his latest record.
I say it's how we're made. There's no point in shouting from your island, proclaiming only Jesus saves. There will always be suffering. some connections, or maybe just their own reflections. Not everybody finds it, not like the two of us. Sometimes all anybody needs is a human touch. Everybody wants a holiday. Everybody wants to feel the sun. Get outside and run around. Live like they're forever young. Everybody wants to be beautiful and live life their own way. No one let it go, no matter what they do or say. Everybody gets lonely, feel like it's all too much. Reaching out for some connections, or maybe just their own reflections. Everybody finds it, not like the two of us. Sometimes all anybody needs is a human touch. Sometimes all anybody needs is a human touch.
That song, A Human Touch, co-written by my guest Leslie Mendelson and Jackson Browne from Jackson Browne's most recent album, Downhill from Everywhere.
Hey, had you been a fan of Jackson Browne's before?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, when I was learning guitar, so I was studying piano or playing piano when I was a kid. And then when I learned guitar, I think These Days were one of the first songs I had learned on guitar. So I've
That's
been listening to him for a long time. I mean, how can you not? It's a good one, you know? Yeah,
it's a very good one.
I mean, to think that he wrote that at 16 blows my mind. Those lyrics are so profound.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was an old soul when he was just a kid.
Yeah.
You've worked with a lot of interesting people. Peter Asher, one of the people who worked on your new record. He's been our guest on my show a couple of times. He's a lovely guy. How did he come to work with you?
Well, I was looking for a producer for this last record, and Steve, my partner, he said, you know, I think he had met Peter because Steve won a couple of Grammys the year before last and met Peter, I think, at the Grammys. And then at some point they became friends. And then we were in LA at some point and wound up having dinner with him and his wife, Wendy, who's a riot. She's great. And I think at that point, I'd asked Jackson to, you know, I was like, we're having dinner with Peter Asher. Do you want to come along? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, what? Who am I? I'm like having this dinner with pillars of music history. I just kept my mouth shut the whole time. And after that, I actually just wrote a short story about all of this and Relics published it last month.
Oh,
it's called Crazy Dreams. It's my account of all of the, this story of how we met. And then after dinner, he asked if we wanted to listen to Susanna Hoff's new record that he just produced.
Yeah.
I love her, you know, and I was like, absolutely. And she's got one of the great voices. I just love her voice, and their songs were great. And so we got to meet her and listen. And then I think after that session, we just asked if he'd be interested, and he was up for it. And so we sent him a bunch of songs and he liked the songs. And then he asked, like, well, who do you want to be in your band? And I said, well, let's get the dream team. So I shot high and we got him. We got Jim Keltner, we got Lee Sklar, and Waddy Wachtel, who is also, I put in quotes, my uncle, because my dad and him went to high school together and we're actually in a band, him and Waddy.
Wow.
And so years later, they reconnected through Facebook, and we've been friends. And so it was really nice that we got a chance to work together.
That's fantastic.
I know a lot of people, but I don't have many friends. You ask me who I'll turn to, and I'll tell you it depends on who shows up when the chips are down, who'll be there till the end. I know a lot of people, but I don't have many friends. In any situation, I'm gonna tell you what I think. Opinions are like assholes when you've had too much to drink. I've probably said too much last night, so sorry to offend. That's why I know a lot of people, but I don't have many friends. Talk is cheap. I surround myself with lovers. Hey, let's not pretend. I know a lot of people, but I don't have many friends. Messages they've penned, said she knew a lot of people, not too many friends. Saying I know a lot of many friends.
That was a song by Leslie Mendelssohn, who's my guest this week on From the Bookshelf. I'm Gary Shapiro.
And it was also co-produced. We did some other stuff with another amazing producer, Tyler Chester. And so there's a few songs with him, and then I'd say the bulk of the records with Peter, but it all worked together as one, so we put it together.
That was my guest, Leslie Mendelssohn, a track from her new album, After the Party, just come out.
Yeah, well, you just mentioned that you wrote a short story, so I guess writing prose is something that you do as well?
It was my first time ever being published to write a story. They asked me if I wanted to do, it's called My Page or My Pages, that Relics does every month, and they'll, you know, an artist just can write whatever you want. You can write whatever you want, write about whatever you want. And so I just thought this was a fun story with, you know, some fun characters in it.
I can't wait to read it. Susanna Hoffs wrote a novel last year, so you're...
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, 600 words versus a book. Well, maybe it's
a start. You're start. It's a start.
It's a start. It's a start.
But you mentioned teaching. What kind of teaching did you do?
Piano, voice, yeah, some guitar. Yeah, I would teach kids.
Private lessons. Kind of a,
yeah, yes.
Yeah,
some group classes, you know. And then I would do weddings. I'd do anything, really. Just try to hustle up any work.
You will play, Leslie Mendelssohn will play your wedding if you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always a good time. I mean, you know, I did a lot. I did a lot of them. Yeah.
I say it's how we're made. There's no point in shouting from your island, proclaiming only Jesus saves. There will always be suffering, and there will always be pain. But because of it, there'll always be love, and love we know it will remain. Everybody gets lonely, feel like it's all too much. Reaching out for some connection, or maybe just their own reflection. Not everybody finds it, not like the two of us. Sometimes all anybody needs is a human touch. Everybody wants a holiday. Everybody wants to feel the sun. Get outside and run around, live like they're forever young. Everybody wants to be beautiful and live life their own way. No one ever wants to let it go, no matter what they do or say.
Thank you.
is a human touch.
All right. Your new album, Leslie Mendelssohn, is called After the Party. It's just been released. You also have three other albums, although what's the first one called?
Well, the one from 2009 is called Swan Feathers. And yeah, that you can get it online.
Yeah.
No, well, it's out of print. I don't sell it physically, but you could get it online.
And your new album's out on vinyl too, is that right?
Yes, it is.
That's cool. But, do you think people are not buying CDs anymore? They're all...
It really depends where I am. You have a few. I think people still like CDs.
I do.
You know, I think it just depends, like, on the crowd. There's, like, one of the Wallflower shows I sold out of vinyl. Everybody wanted vinyl that night, you know? And then just recently I sold more CDs than vinyl. I can't tell, but I'm glad that I can offer both.
Oh, let's mention your sister. I met your sister. She was working
at merch
table.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Erin.
Is she younger or older?
She's younger. She lives in San Francisco.
Oh.
So she drove down to Monterey, or she took the train or the bus, met me down there. And she's just a good time to hang with. And she's like, I'll sell your merch. I'm like, excellent. And she does. She's so friendly. She's a great girl.
That's very nice. Leslie Mendelssohn will be appearing, let me mention it again, on July 18th at Sweetwater Music Hall in Mill Valley, California, and on July 19th at Sound Union Incorporated in Redwood City. And she's touring all around the country and the world. And she's great. And I want to thank you so much, Leslie, for making some time for From the Bookshelf.
Can I give you one more fun fact?
Of course,
because you mentioned Sweetwater Music Hall, because that you know Bob Weir owns that.
Oh,
from the Grateful Dead, and I have a duet with him on my Love and Murder record.
No kidding.
Yeah, Blue Bayou. We sing together.
Fantastic.
So I just wanted to sneak. Just thought it was a nice
That's
connection
a
there.
Yeah, it's great that you've gotten to play with so many of your idols.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Leslie Mendelssohn, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it.
I feel so bad. I've got a worried mind. Feel so lonesome all of the time. Since I left my baby behind on Blue Bayou. Saving nickels, saving dimes, waiting for the sun to shine, looking forward to happier times on Blue Bayou. I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou, where the folks are fine and the world is mine on Blue Bayou. Oh, those fishing boats with their sails afloat that I could only see. A familiar sunrise through sleepy eyes. How happy I'd be.
Oh, to see my baby again, and to be with some of my friends. Maybe I'd be happy again on Blue Bayou.
I'm going back someday, come what may, to Blue Bayou, where you sleep all day and the catfish play on Blue Bayou. All those fishing boats with their sails afloat that I could only see. A familiar sunrise through sleepy eyes. How happy I'd be. silver moon and the evening tide.
Oh, some sweet day, gonna take away
this hurting inside. I'll never be blue, my dreams come true. I'm blue by you.
That's it for this week's From the Bookshelf. I hope you enjoyed the program and will come back and see us again next time. I'm Gary Shapiro. Take care. See you soon.